Amen. Well, we are talking about our purpose, and last week we began talking about that, and so I'm going to just review just a little bit, and then we're going to go on to the rest of the sermon. So I want to ask you today, what is your purpose? Do you know what your purpose is? Rachel, would you get that video ready on purpose that we watched last week? What is your purpose? Why do you exist? Why are you alive today? Do you know that so many people don't know the reason that they're alive? They don't know what God's purpose is for their lives. And that's what this whole series is on. It's on God's five purposes for your life. Last week, we talked about God being the center of your life. That's His first purpose for you. So right now, we're going to watch a little video on purpose that we watched last week, because I want it to be ingrained in your spirit this morning. People do not know their purpose. And it is up to us as believers in Christ Jesus that we go out and we tell people about their purpose in God. Amen. Let's see what the world is believing their purpose is this morning.
What is your purpose?
To be successful and to lead a happy, fulfilling life.
To provide wealth for my family.
I want to be a really powerful woman. Build my career, built in financial area. Do you think that you have a purpose?
Not necessarily. I think the purpose is just to do what you want to do. Go out and live life and have fun.
Yeah, I think everybody has a purpose in life. And what would that purpose be for you? I'm not sure yet. What is your purpose in life?
Living day to day, having fun.
And that's it.
That's pretty much it.
More or less, we're just going through the motions here, and you know, you do what you feel like doing. I don't think there's anything really pushing or pulling us in any direction. And it ends whenever your life ends.
Well, amen. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Apparently, a lot of these people don't know what their purpose is. Amen. But if you are a Christian today, I'm going to tell you that you have five purposes that God wants you to live out in your life. Hezekiah, we talked about him last week. He lived out his purpose as one of the greatest kings that ever lived. On your paper, 2 Kings 18, 2 through 7. If you don't have a paper, raise your hand. If you don't have a paper, we got a lot right here that don't have papers. If you go ahead and hand those out real quick, I'm going to begin reading the scripture. If you'll just pay attention to my voice, it says Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. There was never another king like him in the land of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything. How did he remain faithful? In everything. Amen. And he carefully obeyed all the commands that the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything that he did. Hezekiah knew what his purpose was. His purpose was to be faithful to God. Can you imagine being a success in everything that you did? Wouldn't that be wonderful, Dawn, to be a success in everything that you did? It says here that Hezekiah did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and he remained faithful to God. Then Hezekiah meets a problem. In Isaiah 38, 1 through 5, Hezekiah got sick. He was about to die. And the prophet Isaiah said, prepare your affairs and your family. This is it. You're going to die. You're not going to get well. Hezekiah turned away from Isaiah and facing the wall, he prayed to God. God, please, I beg you, remember how I've lived my life. I've lived faithfully in your presence. I've lived out of a heart that has been totally yours. You've seen how I lived, the good that I've done. Then God said, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Here's what I'll do. I'll add 15 years to your life. Can you imagine that your prayer would be that powerful? Our prayers have an effect on God. Your communication, your conversation, your relationship that you have with God makes a difference in your life. Your obedience to God, your prayer life to God can determine our future. It can change the future. Because of Hezekiah's faithfulness, because of his life, God added 15 more years to Hezekiah's life. Now let me ask you a question. Would God give you 15 more years to your life according to your faithfulness today? According to your faithfulness with God. You see, God wants to use your life in the way that he intended when he created you. Don't you desire to live with purpose in your life? I'm going to tell you, when I don't live with purpose, when I'm just out there floating around, not living in purpose, I feel worthless. I feel like I can't just stay home and do nothing every day. We were built to be able to do things with our gifts and our abilities. The first thing that we talked about last week was the number one purpose that God has for you and me, number one on your paper there, is God wants you to center your life around him. And we talked about that extensively last week. Matthew 22, 37 and 38, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. What does it mean to have God as the center of your life? When I say God wants to be the center of your life, what I'm saying is he wants to become the nucleus of your life. When you're the nucleus of something, you are the very center of that being. So that everything that happens out of my life as a Christian, it has to go through God first. It has to go through the nucleus first before it hits out here. So if you're married, your marriage, everything that you say and do towards your spouse should go through the center of your being. It should go through Jesus first. Everything that you do on your job should go through your nucleus, through your center of who you are in Jesus. Now remember, last week, I talked about another word for center is he becomes our bucket. Amen? He becomes our bucket. And we step in to that bucket every morning and we immerse ourselves. All right? We're going down in the bucket every morning. And I'm getting low. How low can you go? All right? I might not be able to get up. But you get down in that bucket, all right? And you immerse yourself in Jesus every morning. Every morning, so that you are saturated with his presence. And everything that you do that day comes out of your saturation of being with Jesus. Amen? Every time you have a problem during the day, you can go back in that bucket. Amen? You can go back and you can saturate yourself in the spiritual realm. But God wants you to put him at the center of everything that you do and everything that you say. He wants to be the very hub of your heart. You remember, what we center on is going to become larger. If you center on that temptation is going to come larger. If you center on sex over Jesus, well, guess what? That's going to become larger. If you center on finances more than you center on Jesus, finances are going to be the most important thing in your life. You see, when you have a big God and God is your center, then everything out here becomes smaller. Now, being the center for some people means just coming to church on Sunday mornings. And I don't really believe that's what God was talking about. You see, when he said to love your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind, what he was saying was, love me with all of your passion. I want your passion. I want your heart. Think on me. Meditate on me. Give me your will when you wake up in the morning. See, when you get up in the morning, you need to say, Jesus, you are the center of my life. Everything that I do and everything that I say today will come out forth from you, Lord. I won't do it. I won't go there if it's not of you, Father. But everything that I do and everything that I say has to come out of the center of who I am with you. Now, we talked about this last week. Right when Hezekiah heard the news of his death, because Jesus was the center of his life, remember, it said that he was faithful to the Lord for 29 years. He was the best king that they had ever had in the land of Judah. Why was he the best king? Because he was the best looking? No. He was the best king because he was faithful to God. He was the best king because he trusted in his Lord. But why could he be faithful? Why could he trust? Because God was the center of his life. Every morning, Hezekiah got in his bucket. Every morning, he was saturated with the Lord's presence. Now, let me tell you, when they told Hezekiah that he was going to die, I think it's so interesting that he didn't turn to Isaiah and say, Isaiah, why? What's going on, Isaiah? Tell me what God is saying. No, he turned away from the prophet. Do you hear me? He turned away from the prophet and he faced the wall and he began having a conversation with God because he knew who to go to and he knew what to say because he knew who his life was centered around. That's the kind of relationship I want you to have with the Lord, that when problems come into your life, when worry, when anxiety comes into your life, that immediately you turn away from whoever you're with, even if it's your spouse, and you go to the Lord first before you go to anybody else. You surround yourself in his presence. You get in that bucket and you say, Lord, I trust you. You are the center of my life. Everything that happens to me, you have allowed it to happen. And I trust you that I will be able to walk through this because I have relationship with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. You see, it was because he had a personal relationship with God. You know, most people would have clung to Isaiah. I can just tell you this, as a pastor, when things happen, there are some people that cling to their pastors. And you know, pastors don't mind that. But as your pastor, I want you to cling to Jesus first. Amen? Because I can't give you what Jesus can give you. I can't console you the way that he can console you. I can't give you wisdom like he can give you wisdom. I can be Jesus with skin on, and I can be second, third, fourth, or fifth best to help you get through that, but nobody can help you like Jesus can help you. You know, Hezekiah's number one purpose before he was a king was to have a relationship with God. You see, my number one purpose before I'm a pastor today is to have a true relationship with God. To have a I don't want to do this without a relationship with God. I don't want to take on that kind of pressure and that kind of authority over your life as your pastor if I don't have a relationship with the Lord, if I can't hear from him and what he's telling me. And let me tell you something, men, as you lead your families, get in the bucket in the morning. Get saturated for your families because you have a wife and you have children that need your wisdom and they need the presence of God operating in your life. Philippians 4:7 says, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Let me say this to you this morning. Worry is a sign that something else has taken over the center of your life. Anxiety is a sign that something else has taken over the place of Christ in your life. This scripture says in Philippians 4:7 that Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So let me ask you this question today. If God gave you 15 more years, how will you center your life? Because it is a choice that you and I have every day. And it's so easy just to lift your hands and say, God, just saturate me with your presence today, Lord. Father, not my will, but your will today. Lord, as I go to work today, Father, let me be Jesus with skin on. Father, give me discernment of people who need a word, people who need a prayer, people who need a pat on the back, people who need encouragement today, God. And maybe you're the one that needs encouragement. Lord, I need encouragement today, Father. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. When you're worried, when you're depressed, when you have anxiety, begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Begin to tell yourself who you are. I'm the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. God, you are my King of kings and my Lord of lords. I am everything in you. I am an heir of the King of kings. Amen. Let me say this to you. There is no God like our God. Our second purpose here on earth, besides being centered around Jesus, our second purpose is God wants me to connect with other believers. God wants me to connect with other believers. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. This is called fellowship. This is called hanging out with each other. I got so many people that I hang out with. I love to hang out. Isn't it cool that Jesus wanted us to hang out with each other? He wants us to be with one another. He wants us to have community with one another. Let me say this. If you're too busy to hang out, you're too busy. Because this is one of the purposes that God has placed in our life. You know what? Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up in the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. I want to just challenge you to be an encourager. Find somebody or something to encourage every day. And don't just be proud of yourself when you do it one time that day. But keep on doing it the rest of the day. Amen? Say, God, you know what? How do you want me to encourage people today? What do you want me to say to that person? God may give you something very specific to say to a person that is going through something that you have no idea about. That's why we pray in the Spirit. We ask God to download to our spirit what he would have us to say to people who are in need. He may give you something very generic to tell somebody. God loves you. God cares about you. God is thinking about you. You see, we were made for relationships. Nothing in life will be better than, number one, your connection with God, and number two, your connection with another human being. That is the best thing in life. And look, in the very beginning, when God had Adam and Eve, He made them for relationship with one another. In fact, He looked at Adam and He said, it's not good that man would be alone. So He created Eve to be with Adam. We were never meant to do life alone. We were never meant to do life by ourselves, but we were meant to do life with other believers. You see, all of that kind of church stuff about how you just see people on Sunday morning, that's not how Freedom Life is. Amen. We see each other all through the week. We do stuff with one another. We have small groups. We have meetups. We have devotions that happen every week. And we make sure that we're in contact by text messages. We make sure that we're... They have a group me. That's a group me. That's a bunch of ladies that are on that group me. And guess what happens? Every day, prayer request. Go out on that group me, because that's what doing life in community is. So I'm so glad that God has given us the body of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad that God has given me Freedom Life. If you feel disconnected, it's only because you've disconnected. Because we are here. We are here to minister. We're here to go to the movies. We're here to go out to eat. We're here to go to coffee. We're here to have a meetup with you. We're here to have a Bible study with you. Let me tell you something. We want to do life with you. We don't want to just see you on Sunday morning. We want to do life with you. In fact, Pastor Earl, last night, after a hard week of work, he has 2 40-hour-a-week jobs. That means he works almost 80 hours a week. You always see him speeding by you somewhere, always speeding by. Well, last night, what he did was he went and picked up Jay Bricotta back there. He went and picked up Jay, and they went to a Houston Astros game together, fellowshipped all the way there, watched the game, fellowshipped all the way back, because that's what it's about. Do you hear me? It's about doing life with people who think like you, who have morals and values like you. Does that mean that we don't step out and witness? No, that doesn't mean that. We still step out and witness. But the bulk of our time is done in community. Now, let's read this together on your paper. Acts 2, 41 and 42 and 46. It says, on the count of three, 1, 2, 3. God tells us how to belong. Those who believed were baptized. Now look at that. It says here, the first thing they did was believe. The second thing they did was they were baptized. Where are you in this? Personally, where are you in this? Have you believed? Have you been baptized? Have you been added to a church? The next thing was they committed themselves to Sunday morning apostles' teaching and fellowship. Then they worshiped together regularly at the temple, and then they met in small groups in homes. Where are you in that list? You see, this is the order. This is how you stay centered with Jesus Christ. This is how you keep Him at the center of your life. You follow this progression of events in Acts chapter 2. Amen? This is how you do it. You stay centered on God by, number one, the scripture says that you believe. Have you trusted in Jesus as your personal Lord and your Savior? Have you walked the aisle for salvation? Have you said, Jesus, come into my heart and live inside of my heart. I want to live for you. I want you to be the center of my life. If not, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that at the very end of the service. The next thing, after you were saved, you should have been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, every third Sunday of the month here at Freedom Life, we will baptize you. We will baptize you. Baptism is an outward expression of something that has happened on the inside of you. Baptism is for the non-believer. Baptism is for a witness to other people, telling them, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. He has washed me clean, and now I am white as snow. My sins are forgiven. You see, when you believe on Jesus Christ and you accept him into your heart, then you are pure and holy. There is no sin still attached to your life. And when you get baptized, when it represents going down in the water, all of those sins stay down in the water. And when you come up, you are pure. It's a symbolic thing of what has happened spiritually in your life. The third thing that this scripture says is join a church family. It says they were added to the church. Have you joined Freedom Life Church yet? Have you joined Freedom Life Church yet? If you haven't, the first Sunday in July, we're going to give you an opportunity to come to Next Steps. What is Next Steps? Next Steps is how you get added to the family here at Freedom Life. We are going to give you information, we are going to give you expectation, and we are going to give you assimilation. Now, what does all that mean? We're going to give you information about what we believe. Because it's very important that you believe the same things that we believe. Number two, we're going to tell you what we expect from you as a believer and part of the family here at Freedom Life. And assimilation, we're going to get you hooked up into a ministry, whatever your passion is, the gifts and the abilities that God has placed inside of your life. You see, having a church family makes all the difference in the world. Let me give you some examples. Last week, my brother-in-law had surgery. He had cancer, melanoma on his nose. I had to actually shut my phone off in the waiting room at MD Anderson because I got 29 text messages from our congregation asking me how my brother-in-law was that doesn't even go to this church. Let me tell you something. That is community. That is the family of God. Let me bring it down to reality. Don Crum right here. Don, wave at everybody. Don Crum, a couple of months ago, began having seizures. She can't drive for 6 months, so she has to have a ride to church and a ride away from church. On Monday night for prayer, she has to have a ride here and a ride home. If she does anything with the church, let me tell you something. We have not skipped a beat giving her a ride anywhere that she's needed a ride that she has to go. The other day, Justin locked his keys in the car. His dad called me and said, can you go to McNeese and get... You say, Pastor Paula, what does this have to do with the word? Let me tell you, we're living it. We're living the word. That's what it truly means. You see, if you've been fashioned that you go to church on Sunday morning and then I'll see you next Sunday, you have been taught wrong in the word of God. Because Acts 2 church did life together every day of their life. You know what? It's summertime. Go on vacation, but make sure you get back, right back in church. Why? Because just like in the Acts 2 church, they needed regular fellowship, they needed to learn together, and they needed to hold one another up continually in prayer. Acts says they joined with other believers, and they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They worshiped together regularly at the temple. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. It doesn't say they worshiped periodically at the temple. They worshiped every 3 weeks at the temple. They worshiped every 4 months at the temple. No, listen to me, church. As your pastor, I'm telling you, it says they worshiped regularly at the temple. You know what? Commit. Commit with me right now in your spirit. Commit with me right now to be faithful to the house of God. To be faithful on Sunday mornings if you possibly can. Be more faithful to Sunday mornings than you are to your workplace. Boom. Come on, somebody. We need to be more faithful to God than we are to the workplace. The next thing that this scripture says is they met in small groups in homes. They worshiped together at the temple regularly, and they met in small groups at the homes. Here at Freedom Life, let me tell you, because people have been confused about this. We have two sessions every year, okay? We have a spring semester and we have a fall semester of meetups that are 12 to 15 weeks apiece. Pastor Joel Daugherty is our meetups person. He's our meetups pastor. If you want to lead a meetup in the fall, you need to make sure that you get with him. But here this summer, we're not going to meet in homes, but we're going to meet right here at the church in June and July, all right? And we are going to have a great men and boys study and a great woman and girl study. Now, if you are a parent, would you stand, please? If you are a parent, if you are a single person, would you stand, please? All right. If you are a human, will you stand, please? Let me tell you something that's going to change your life if you will commit to summer, to June and July. I know that a lot of you have trouble getting over the bridge, but we've even backed our service up 30 more minutes so that you can get here. We don't care what you come to church in. We don't care if you stink. Do you hear me? But I want you to make a commitment to bring your kids. It is so important in summer when everything is pulling on us from every which direction. And let me tell you something. I hate when we have Wednesday night services and we have 20 people show up, because some of our Wednesday night services are better than our Sunday morning services. And you're going to get so much out of it. I am your pastor and I am begging you. You know, how often do I beg you? I don't. I am begging you to make a commitment. Make a commitment to yourself. And make a commitment to your children. All right? It's worth it. They're going to get so much out of it this summer. We're going to have fun. We're going to have popsicles. We're going to have moon pies. We're going to have RC Cola. We're going to have just really cool stuff every Wednesday night. You don't want to miss it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. Okay, so do you commit? All right, sit down. Awesome, 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 awesome. All right. You know, I'm begging you to get involved because I care about you and I care about the purpose that God has given you. And you're not just going to get it by coming once a week to church. There's so much more, and relationships take time. Listen to this statistic, how awesome. Statistics say that if you isolate yourself from other people and you don't develop close friendships, you are 3 times more likely to die an early death. You are 4 times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. You are 5 times more likely to be clinically depressed. And you are 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional disorder. All I can say is get in a small group. Get some relationship. Amen? So where are you at? On your paper is a question. What is my next step? All right? Do you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, write that down. If you believe, do you need to be baptized? If you do, write it down in that space. Do you need to join the church, Freedom Life? Put the first weekend in July down to make sure you're here for next steps. Do you need to commit to being here on Sunday morning? A real commitment to God. And number 5, do you need to commit to small groups this summer? Amen. I'm going to hurry up because we have about 7 minutes left. Number 3, God wants you to cultivate your spiritual maturity. God wants you to cultivate your spiritual maturity. How many of you don't like an immature adult? Amen? A lot of you do. Do you like an immature adult? We don't like anybody that's a baby, right? And God doesn't want you to be an immature baby, but He wants you to grow in the Word of God. The more you know about the Word, the more you're going to be changed by the Word, and the more you're going to be an adult. Hebrews 6:1 says, "Let us go on and become mature in our understanding as strong Christians ought to be." Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you mature in the Word? God wants you to develop some spiritual muscles. And developing spiritual muscles is just like developing physical muscles. Amen? Amen? You're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger your first week at Planet Fitness. You're not. You're going to have to keep on going at least 3 or 4 or 5 times a week to get the kind of muscles that Arnold has, or to get the kind of muscles that Deshaun has right here. You're going to have to go 3 or 4 or 5 times a week to be able to get those kind of muscles. And if you want those kind of muscles spiritually, then you're going to have to get in the Word. You're going to have to get in the Word, not just on Sunday morning, but 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week so that you can become a mature believer. Let me ask you this. Will you use the next 15 years of your life to grow spiritually in Christ? Remember, it's your choice. Remember Hezekiah. God gave him 15 more years because he was faithful, because he trusted in the Lord, because he had a relationship with God. Hebrews 5:12 says, by now you should be teachers. Instead, you still need someone to teach you. You know, I'm finding that in the body of Christ, that we're leaving our spiritual development just to Sunday morning when God wants us in Bible studies. God wants us learning. He wants us believing with other believers so that iron can sharpen iron and that we can grow together. If you're going to become an authority on anything in your life, become an authority on the Word of God, because it's going to help you more than anything else that you study. How do you grow up? You learn His Word. Get this Word into your spirit. Trust His wisdom. Connect with other believers. Obey His instructions and worship His character. Learn about God's character and how you're supposed to live. Let me tell you how you know you're becoming spiritually mature. You want to know how you're spiritually mature? When you see your relationship with God beginning to affect your family. That is how you know you're becoming spiritually mature. Do you know the other day, one of my sister's children was going through something, and I was just like that person I talked about earlier. I'm like, what are we going to do? And my sister, who's not a pastor or a preacher, she said, well, we're going to pray. And I said, oh, that's good. I said, yeah. I said, you're right. We're gonna pray. We're going to pray about that. And I thought, man, my sissy's becoming spiritually mature. And I thought, that is awesome. And then this past week, we went to Houston, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to show them how to witness to other people, and I'm going to stop people in the hotel, and I'm going to show my sister and my brother-in-law how to pray for people, and I'm just talking about all this stuff. Well, a couple nights later, my phone beeps, and it's Jean, and she says, Paula, I'm talking to this guy about God down here in the foyer of the hotel, and he has stage. I'm like, you're doing what? I said, you're ministering to somebody? And I was like, wow. I was like, that is so cool, because she wanted to make sure he knew the Lord as his Savior. And a couple of times, you know, she talked about members of her family going, I hope that they know God. I hope they know the Lord as their Savior. And I thought, wow, thank you, God, that you're using my life to touch other people's. And see, when you become spiritually mature, you're going to begin touching people in your life, and you're going to begin to see them begin to blossom spiritually because of the time that you've put in with God. Because of all that secret time when you were by yourself in your living room studying, or you were in your bedroom studying, and then you're going to see your children or your spouse is going to start doing and saying things, and you're going to be like, thank you, God. Thank you that you're using me. You see, we were made to disciple people, and we were made to be discipled. God is going to use people. He'll use groups to form our spiritual muscles, but He's also going to use problems in your life. God is going to grow you through your problems. And when you have those problems, it is best to not ask why, but to say, God, now what? What do you want me to do? Just like Isaiah did, turn your face to the wall and begin asking God, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to realize life here is never going to be perfect. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord is going to deliver you and me out of all of them. For the next 15 years of your life, will you choose for every problem to be a stumbling block or a stepping stone? Will you choose to get better, or will you choose to get bitter? Amen. Our next purpose from God is He wants you to contribute something back to the kingdom of God. He doesn't want you just to live here and take up space, but He wants you to give something back. He wants your life to have meaning. He wants your life to have purpose. He wants you to give your life away for His kingdom. Let me just thank Shannon and Mitch, Shanyetta and Daryl, Cindy, Ariel, Darlene, Totsy, Joel, and I don't know who else came out. Lidrell came out to downtown at sundown. But these people that I just listed, they used their gifts and they used their ability. And because of that, right now in this church today, we have 11 people that normally would not be here because they used their gifts at downtown at sundown. I want to thank you for giving of yourself, because it's hard to go sit out in that hot sun. It's hard to do that. Let me tell you, I'm an air conditioner girl. You hear me? And it's hard to do that. But God wants you. He wants me as your pastor to assimilate you into service. He doesn't want you just sitting there on a pew. So when you come to Next Steps, or if you've already been to Next Steps, see Cindy Cromer, see Shanyetta Hippolyte, Pastor Shanyetta, and say, you know what? I want to do this. I want to greet. I want to be an usher. I want to be a nursery school teacher. Whatever it is in your life, you and I have not been designed for leisure. One day, you are going to stand before God, and He is going to ask you the question, what did you do with the gifts and the talents that I have given you? I love what the psalmist in 116:12 said. He said, what can I give back to God for the blessings that He's poured out on me? How can you use your gifts and your abilities, church, for the blessings that God has poured out on you? You see, significance isn't going to come from a position. It's not going to come from money. It's not going to come from success. It's not going to come from your salary. Significance, listen to me today, because I'm telling you something that sounds like an oxymoron, but it is profound in the Word of God. Significance is going to come from giving yourself away for Jesus' sake. What did God put you on this planet to do? We all have a message. We all have a mission, and we all have a ministry. Number five, and I'm closing. God wants to communicate His wants me to communicate His love. God wants me to communicate His love. He wants you and me to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say this after me. I have been sent as a believer in Christ to speak for Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I'm going to tell you something. If I have a message for Pastor Earl, and it's a very important message, I'm going to pick very wisely the person that I want to get that message through to Pastor Earl. And God has chosen you and me. That's how much He thinks of you and me. That's how much He thinks of our salvation and that we have trusted our lives to God. He's saying, because you trusted me, because you trusted your life to me, then I'm going to trust you that you're going to give the message out to other people. You see, we have five purposes here on this life. And I want you to listen to me. I know that people are moving around right now, but I want you to focus right here on me because I'm closing. We'll be out of here in the next 3 minutes. What will you do with the next 15 years of your life? Thank God Hezekiah had been faithful. Thank God he had trusted in the Lord. Thank God he had torn down the high places and torn down the worship to idols that he had. If you had to stand before God today, could you say that you had been faithful, basically, for the most part, the last 15 years of your life? Let me tell you something. I can honestly say that we all have something to repent for. We all have something to ask God to forgive us for not reaching out when we should have, not telling somebody about Christ when he told us to, But you have the next 15 years, hopefully, of your life to live for Jesus Christ. Will you center your life around God the next 15 years? Will you make Him number one more than that boy or that girl, more than your husband or wife or children? Will you make God number one? Number two, will you connect with other believers? Will you join us this summer on Wednesday nights? Even if you have to miss a Wednesday, would you join us? Would you do your very best to get here? Number three, will you begin to cultivate your spiritual maturity? Will you begin to read the Word? Will you begin to study? Will you begin to worship and pray at home? Number four, will you make a contribution with your life? Will you serve the body of Christ? Will you get involved? Will you use your gifts and your abilities? And number five, will you communicate the love of Christ to people on your job? Will you communicate the love of Christ to people at the convenience store, to your neighbors? Will you communicate it to your friends? And the hardest of all, will you communicate the love of Christ to your families? Will you be a witness to your family? Because you were put in your family for a reason. Will you tell somebody about Jesus for the next 15 years of your life? I want to ask you a question as you stand with me. Look at me and please nobody leave the sanctuary at this time. Let me ask you a question. Who will be in heaven because of you? Who do you work with that'll be in heaven because of you? Who is your friend that will be in heaven because of you? Who's a family member that'll be in heaven because of you? For the next 15 years of your life, if the Lord tarries, and if the Lord spares your life, how many people can you bring to the Lord in the next 15 years of your life? Dwell on those. Dwell on those questions. Ask God to use you in a mighty way. Ask Him to be the center of your life today. I'm going to ask that you'd bow your heads. Those of you who have never received the Lord as your Savior, and you're saying, Pastor Paula, I want to make Him the center of my life today. If that's you, just show me by a show of your hand. You want to make Him the center of your life today. Amen. I see your hand. Now let me ask this question if you'll look at me. Who in here, you've known the Lord as your Savior, but you have stepped away from God? And you have something to ask for forgiveness for. And you want to ask Him to come back into your life fully today. Let's go ahead right now and bow our heads and ask God to forgive us. Father, we ask, Lord, for your forgiveness, God, of not being faithful when we should have been faithful, Father. Lord God, we thank you today, Father, that you are our Lord and our Savior. If you want to receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, repeat after me, Father. In the name of Jesus, I come to you just as I am, and I ask that you would forgive my sins, that you would come to live in my heart, that you would be the center of my life. Lord, use me to disciple other people. Use me to bring other people to you, Lord, in the next 15 years. Now, everybody under the sound of my voice, say this. In the next 15 years, use my mouth, use my hands, use my feet, Lord. Use my mind. Use my knowledge. Use my gifts. Use my abilities to help bring people closer to you. And Lord, may you always be the center of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Earl.